Sandy was looking up at me, all set for a walk. Her furry coat the same colour as beach grass, like the dog in the musical my daughters were in that summer, Annie. I plonked down at the wall near the shops, trying to figure out what I was going to do with her. My therapist said that the universe would provide, and I was that kind of a gullible idiot to believe her. But just then, like a miracle, Tish Prendergast came along. "Oh, here's my lovely little Sandy. Who's a good doggy then?" That high voice she used when we brought Sandy to her dog training classes in Penny's car park. Not that they did any good, but still we tried. "How about kennels?" Tish asked. "Margaret Kelly is good." "We can't afford that. We're looking for a place to live ourselves." "Well, leave it with me. I'll ask around." She was back to me within the hour. And the minute we got word, my sister Emer had us in the car and heading for Ballymun. Whatever about having us to stay with her family and the new baby, there was no way she could squeeze in the dog. Walking around the flats, we met a young woman who looked like a warrior with her half-shaved head and the tattoo of a butterfly on the back of her neck. "Are you looking for the dog, woman? She's just above you there. Press 3 in the lift." When we knocked on the door, there was an outrage of barking. Sandy looked up at me, tail between her legs. But when the door opened, the dogs couldn't get to us because there was a child safety gate across the hall. The dog woman had sallow skin, hair scraped back into a tight ponytail, gypsy earrings. She told the dogs to go to bed in a quiet enough voice, but they did what she said. She nodded, gesturing for us to come in, not friendly, but not unfriendly either, just busy. There were dogs everywhere, small, medium, one big old Labrador with stiff hips. They were curled up on armchairs, on the sofa, on cushions and in baskets, lolling tongues, happy out. And there was a doggy smell, but it wasn't too bad. A bit like being at the vets, that kind of smell. Animals, but medicine as well. She pulled out a drawer, rummaging for a notebook to write down our details, and I spotted 3 bottles of rescue remedy in amongst the veterinary supplies. "Is she spayed?" "No, we meant to, but we never got round to it. I'll have to have her spayed." "How much will that cost?" "No worries. I have an arrangement with the vet." She crouched down and began to massage Sandy's ears and her neck, and then she smoothed the fur along her spine. Her hands were older than her face, and she had a turquoise ring. There were cards everywhere, all along the windowsills and the mantelpiece. Thank you cards with images of laughing dogs. "This is so good of you to take her in. It's what I do. Should I ring to check on her or..." "No, just come back when you're ready." She took the lead from me and started edging us back towards the front door. The children were petting the dog, putting their arms around her neck, gripping onto her coat, and we had to pull them away. "Don't cry now, you'll upset Sandy. Look how nice it is here. She'll have loads of friends and a better bed than at home." But I didn't want to leave either. I wanted to sit down on the couch and cuddle into the animals, and I wanted to be fed rescue remedy drop by drop from her hand. Outside there was a high blue sky. We smiled at everyone and they smiled back. "And it wouldn't be long," I said to the girls. "It wouldn't be long at all till we were back again bringing Sandy to our new home." It was easier to find a house to rent in Dublin then. And after 6 months, we found a place where the landlord took me on trust and I never failed him. On the day we came back for her, Sandy cleared the gate in the small hall and flung herself into our arms. I looked up at the dog woman. "Thank you so much." But she couldn't hear me with all the barking, and besides, no words, no money, no card could ever thank her enough for what she did.